Is anyone else playing Horizon Forbidden West?
No,
And for the
but
love of God, please text me.
I want to play it, but I don't have PlayStation.
Wait, Forbidden West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
What do you
Horizon.
mean with a question mark at the end? Who the fuck are you?
Alyssa's been drinking. Alyssa's confrontational. She must have been drinking.
That's right. Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to Buckkeep Radio. We're coming to you from inside the walls, along with the person that lives in Ashley's attic. This is episode 102, Assassin's Fate, chapters 5 through 8. And I'm Rachel. I don't live in her attic, but I am a rereader.
I'm Alyssa. I'm the man in the attic, and I'm a rereader.
I'm Jenny, and I'm a rereader.
I'm Eli, and I'm a rereader.
I'm Ashley. I'm a new reader. I'm totally okay if you live in my attic. Just don't, don't confront me. I don't want to see you. You can sneak down and eat a snack. Have a snack. Don't be hungry. Eat a snack. Just don't ever show me.
Don't eat her salad, but if you do, leave the bowl.
Yeah, I need the bowl.
And I'm Joey, a first-time audiobook listener.
Okay, corrections, omissions, announcements. It does look like we're going to have to reschedule at least one of our episodes because of some traveling. So we will be looking at mid-June to finish Assassin's Fate. And also announcement, Robin Hobb approves of gluten-free Oreos. And that's fine, because I do too.
Gluten-free Oreos are delectable.
Who wrote that? Rachel didn't write that.
I'm not reading that. I did not write that.
I wrote that, and it just goes to show that, you know, if Molly is a Robin Hobb self-insert, it's just further evidence towards the fact that Rachel is Molly Moore at 11.
Oh,
wow. She did get it on that quiz.
Mail. Our friends at Is Fitz Happy sent us a congratulations note for our 100th
Oh, thank
episode,
you.
So thanks.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thanks, friends.
That's nice.
I love the memes. You're doing a great job.
Those memes are fantastic.
Awesome.
I look forward to them.
And appropriately for this book, listener Shreya was chatting on IG, and they said some really nice things about the Rainwilds books, particularly about Elise and Cedric being incredibly relatable main characters. And, quote, just seeing them get away, particularly Cedric, and live out their gay little jungle core fantasy was so fulfilling to me. And, you know, I thought that was beautiful. So,
can I give Shreya my full
core.
Phone number? This is what I want to talk about.
And with that, we can just head on into this because there is so much to talk about. So first up, chapter 5, Joey.
Oh, okay. This is a big one. Big one.
You spelled these names.
Oof, I don't know, guys. Chapter 5 is called The Bargain. It starts with a dream journal from B. Farseer, and it's basically just about an ugly small snake, and that's the whole thing. Back in Kelsingra, Fitz discovered one of his companions cleaned his travel clothes and shirt, hopefully, taking care to pull out all the killing tools and replacing them after the laundering, and that was probably Spark, so thanks, Spark. It occurs to Fitz that Lant is actually not incompetent. Purse has trans questions for Fitz. Fitz is woke and sets him straight a little bit. You know, full Amber,
oh,
Ash, Spark.
Fitz,
Purse says
Fitz
that
wakes
Ash
up
has
for
better
one chapter.
Jokes. For one whole chapter. And there's that moment too where Fitz is like, back in my youth, I would have been like, this is weird. And now he's woke. Lant learns that his father was also once an old lady. Lady time, remember? And they all laugh at him. Now our band of Buckkeepians or Six Dutchians, or I think they just settle on Six Dutchy emissaries, which is okay, must negotiate safe passage away from Kelsingra to the Bone Town Isles, Claris. Fitz and Amber hold hands on the way into the dining chamber. Rapscallion is there with his left and right hands, and I didn't get their names. They're just people.
Case and Buster.
Thank you. And then Themyscira, help, please.
Thymara.
Thymara.
I'm just here to be the names person. It's fine.
That's good. I need you, Jenny. More than ever.
Themyscira is good.
Yeah.
That works. Yeah.
But again, what was it actually? Because I heard Themyscira.
Thymara.
Okay. Themyscira is there with her wings and braided dark hair and her mate Tats. Tates?
Yep.
Tats. Like tattoos.
It is Tats.
Did they say Tates?
No, they said Tats.
Don't tell me that. Oh, okay.
And her mate Tats. I'm just surprised I got that right. Thanks, Fitz, for healing their misshapen or differently shapen daughter, of course. And then the dinner bell rang. I just had that here.
Important detail.
And the hosts come in, they just file in, and it's Rain, and it's Malta, and then it's their blue friend, Thrawn.
Yep.
Thrawn.
Thrawn.
Yep, no, it's Thrawn. It's fine.
He's blue, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Blue Thrawn.
No.
There's a whole bunch of other NPCs there, but they don't really matter. A bunch of names listed out. You can ask Jenny for the details.
Case and Boxter.
Case and Boxter and Norto.
What's the girl with the J?
Jerd.
Is Carson and Cedric
Carson
there?
And Cedric are there.
Yeah.
Cedric and Diggory. Fitz is super confused by them, you know.
Because they're gay!
Wait, the gay characters from the collar?
He's like, there's gay people here. It's so weird. I was only woke for 2 seconds. Like,
that's how you know Amber's it was a hand. Good party.
From the jungle gay adventure described earlier.
The jungle, mm-hmm. jungle yes. core. And sort of like, for some reason this is mentioned, our Thai takeout today, the dinner was just sort of boring, but, you know, it filled their bellies. I don't know. Some more human names are mentioned, and a dragon named Grindr, or was it Tinder? Tinder?
Nope, you're Tinder, right.
Grindr? You know, I think we made that yeah. same joke in the past.
The Six Duchies emissaries are formally welcomed, blah, blah, blah. There's a bunch of boring pageantry and diplomacy banter that just fills out the chapter. Chalcid sucks, and still they talk about it. The Koopas family thanks Fitz for killing old Duke Eldrick.
Elic.
which, you know, if you recall, was pretty violent. And Fitz did it very personally in the last book.
Per helped.
When we then learn that Fitz and company are to be given safe passage on a boat called Frogman or Tarman?
Tarman.
Tarman. That's able to walk on the floor of the river. This is all new to me. This boat can walk. And then they reach another town. When they reach in another town, they're going to be transferred over to the live ship Paragon, which, if I recall, this is going to be a very awkward meeting for a certain Fitz and a certain Paragon.
Big Fitz and little Fitz. It's going to be great.
They're going to kiss or something.
Oh, yep. God, I could only hope.
Or something.
Malta gives Fitz a beautiful bracelet made of something called flame jewels that generate their own light. This is sort of like that Galadriel scene in Lord of the Rings where they all get the gifts and stuff.
Yes!
Flame tools are the most important thing.
Exactly.
To Malta,
she definitely watched Fellowship of the Ring before writing this chapter.
Right, right. I think we all thought that. And then they also get this except for Ashley, who doesn't know what Lord of the Rings is. And then they get another gift, which is basically a lighter. And we're like, ooh, it makes fire.
But it's not just a lighter. It's like one of those torches. It's like one of those torches.
Hot hands. It's a butane
torch. It's like a hot hands. Okay, it's a hot hands.
It's not... Hot hands can't catch stuff on fire. This thing can.
And then there's an awkward moment that happens when just like out of the blue, Amber asks for fucking dragon silver and she's just told a big fat nope, end of conversation. And then no, Amber says, she claims, oh, well, hold on, the silver doesn't belong to just dragons. But Rain's like, no, nope, nope, stop asking, that's done. And then Rapscallion looks like he wants to kill everyone in the six duchies from the six duchies emissary brigade. And then Fitz is like, he just blows by that. And he's like, let's forget that question. And he's like, let me ask you something a lot more realistic. Can you just send a message to Buckkeep? And they're like, oh yeah, we can do that. That's easy. That's an easy one for us. Not silver.
Bird mail.
And I was sort of like, for a minute, I was like, why can't he use the skill? And then I'm reminded that because of the current and Kellis plot makes it happen that he can't. That he can't use it. And then Fitz wonders if he can make a request to have more skill users sent from Buckkeep to continue healing all the alternatively shapen kids. Which is, you know, that's a nice thought. And it's sort of like, hey, can I get a note to like, can I get a phone to like call my friends to help you? And they're like, well, yeah. And it's like, it's really just... It's like obvious diplomacy. He's like, he's trying, but, you know, okay. That's nice.
This scene reminded me of like a couple trying to buy a car or something. And one partner's like, I would like to buy this car for half price. And Fitz is like, no. Don't listen to her. Don't listen to her. We would like to buy this car for full price.
Or a fair price. The fair blue book value.
Let's pay the fair value.
It's like
of this
when
car.
Moira and Mr. Rose go to the car depot to get that used car. She keeps driving the price up.
Don't ask for silver. Don't ask for silver. And then Fitz.
Amber overestimating her own importance in these people's lives.
It was weird. It was like, I'm just gonna ask, like, can I just have the whole city?
She's like, technically without me you'd all be dead, but fine.
She didn't go, hey, by the way, like, you all owe me a little bit. Like, that didn't happen. She just kind of said, I need your very most important asset that I know you can't give me.
She had to try. The worst they could say is no.
Yeah, you always have to try before you steal.
You know, the fool's a little bit more strategic than that, and I was a little surprised. I was like, okay.
Amber wears her heart on her sleeve.
Yeah, we're not dealing with fool, we're dealing with Amber.
Okay. I'm learning things about Amber now. Amber says stuff, and the fool is more of a diplomat, I guess? I don't know. So, Fitz ponders if Kelsingra is somehow more dangerous than that first time he came through the skill pillars, which, you know, we were talking about this, Rachel, and you said you think that they were there, but Fitz apparently was...
He was here.
Definitely here. Yeah.
He was definitely here.
Definitely here.
Yes.
And then there's a whole bunch of exposition here regarding their quest to kill everyone in Claris. And it's sort of that recap before the episode where it's like, remember, folks, even though, you know, we're now in chapter 5, it was like, this is what we're doing. But we already know all that. We're here. We already know all that.
We are paying attention.
We are paying attention. At some point, Purse explains that Motley made a new friend, and it's General Rapscallion's red dragon, Hebe.
Hebe?
And Motley at this meeting, Muttley landed in front of the dragon and said some nice things. Beauteous one, feeder of crows, and some such. And the crows specifically seem to have like a symbiotic relationship with dragons. This happens in nature sometimes. Motley starts grooming Hebe, and then Hebe seems to like it a lot and is sort of described as being a content kitty. But Motley's a very clever bird, and Fitz, it occurs to Fitz that only a mystery that only Motley can reveal that mystery when she decides to reveal it.
Yeah, okay.
Rich would really like that mystery revealed right now.
Well, I'm waiting. Maybe that's like a loose hook that never, well, anyways. And then I'm just going to close. Okay, so on a walk through Kelsingra, chilling with the skilling, the skill ghosts, Rapscallion encounters Fitz and greets him, hoping to converse. Rapscallion has changed his tune now, and it's all because Motley and Hebe have become fast friends, and Hebe wishes Rapscallion to aid Fitz in any, and I mean any way to help him kill all the fucking servants in Claris. Hebe's remembered or dreamed about something that made this mission seem oh so righteous in the eyes of the dragons. We learn from Rapscallion that Hebe is different from the other dragons, something about being a runt, but apparently she's more clever too. The first to make her own kills. That's kind of cute. But Fitz is kind of still on edge around Rapscallion, you know, see previous book. As they encountered the greeting, as they entered the greeting hall, or the eating chamber, I guess, we learn that Hebe's insight or recollection comes from an ancestral memory, which comes to her when she dreams, and she shares those dreams with Rapscallion. And Rapscallion is excited to have the truth in Hebe's dreams confirmed. Off in the distance, you can sort of even hear Hebe celebrating. I think it's described as some sort of exultation or something you can hear. Fitz wonders what connects the dragons and the humans together. Is it a combination of the wit and skill? And there, you know, there's a little bit more. I think of this whole section, there's actually a little bit more of this discussion about what is the magic of the, it's like Robin Hobb is sort of tying it all together. We'll talk about that. But I thought that was an interesting start to this. But it basically amounts to the treachery and betrayal in Claris, which we're all just sort of like, no shit. Rapscallion shares that Hebe is stunted because she remained a serpent in the ocean for far too long, and so her ancestral memories are kind of screwy. And then Rapscallion ponders how it was that the dragons nearly went extinct and supposes that it has something to do with that deep betrayal associated with Claris. Whose treachery does Hebe recall? Icefire is mentioned. Apparently he's a dick, but he did hate the pale woman, so there's that, and that has something to do with this betrayal thing. We learn that Hebe wavers between wanting to aid in the destruction of Claris and also running from it because it's just so terrifying. Rapscallion reaffirms his desire to aid Fitz and company on his vengeance quest, but will not apologize for being so suspicious of them originally. Which is like, yes, yeah, okay, that's fair. Finally, Rapscal surprises Fitz and everyone by gifting Fitz with two... This is a bit important, the most important thing that happens in this chapter, that Rapscal surprises everyone and gives Fitz two fat vials of pure dragon silver, which Fitz must conceal immediately. Before leaving, Rapscal relays that Hebe thinks Fitz smells like someone who has a dragon companion. And we can talk about the theories behind that sentiment. And then Rapscal, before leaving, says the words, "So much is lost when there is no trust," which I thought, oh, you know, like, that's nice. I feel like I'm coming around to general Rapscal. And
No, I'm not
supposed to, though. He seems
We've
like
been
a
through
nice
this
guy.
Before.
Oh, okay.
We've been through this.
Got it.
That was Teletor talking.
He's going to do some terrible things then. But being rejoined by the rest of Team Buckkeep, Fitz then relays his encounter with Rapscal. The fool says that all the pieces fit. The servants were trying to remove dragons from existence. But why? And you can
discuss why you think now that...
Well, I do want to point out that Fitz does conceal the silver from the
Force. Yes, uh-huh. that's a very important detail.
Secret secrets.
Which is weird, because I was like, okay, I guess his instinct is just do that.
So we've talked about Hebe before. Hebe is Shriever. Is Hebe Shriever?
Sure.
Which one's Hebe?
Hebe's red, so it could be Shriever.
Let me Google.
I feel like we figured this out, and then I just don't remember.
Yeah,
at all.
I don't know.
But I was thinking about like the this. I finally understand Hebe's name because Hebe has the heebie-jeebies.
Oh my god. What is the as the serpent's name Jeebe? I don't really.
No one is really sure.
I don't think anything's confirmed.
Jeebe. Serpent Jeebe. Jeebe serpent.
Shriever was red.
Yes.
Shriever was red. Mm-hmm.
But not all of them kept their color when they turned into dragons. Like Murkcor turned from red to gold.
White or something.
Blue to gold, I think.
Blue to gold.
Something to gold.
Yeah. Murkcor.
Formerly Malkin.
Well, this is one of the stubs, okay? So
on the Realm of the Elderlings wiki, it says possibly.
Oh. Possibly.
Cheater. Right. Spoiler.
Whatever.
Excuse you.
No reason.
We journeyed so far and so long with those particular that particular tangle that it is nice to see that all those efforts are working out. Yeah. You know. That Fitz is benefiting from at least one of those one of those little eel people that are not round but flattened.
Those little round serpents deserve to have purpose, and I'm glad that they do.
Don't they communicate by peeing on each other or something?
Nope.
Wait.
I thought they.
They let out toxins. I guess technically they could be.
So but that's Shriever, also not how they communicate.
Does it hurt themselves?
Shriever was.
They don't talk with pee.
They can talk.
They just talk Shriever like, was they, one of like those regular talking, like mind meld talking.
And then they also vibe. They also vibe.
Shriever almost didn't make it, right? Like,
yeah,
she was like given up. And that old rapscallion, you know, had faith, and then he turned into be a loser. And I feel bad that he'd be stuck with him.
So why don't? Well, am I not supposed to know why we again don't like rapscallion?
So Rapscal was kind of like a fuck boy a little bit, but he like didn't know it because he was kind of dumb also, but he basically felt entitled to Thymara like being his girlfriend, but she wasn't into that. And so he went and got addicted to romance novels and became
Teletor.
Became Teletor, the hero of the romance novels. And
Rapscal is all of us.
I mean, there is something actually kind of great about him, but he's an absolute fucking horrible dick at the end of
the He ain't got months. No respect for women, and Thymara dropped his ass, and he could never recover from it.
So, I guess how I would describe it is Rapscal was slow but hot and nice. He was a really nice guy, and then he got possessed by the skill portal or skill stone porn he was watching. He got possessed by a porn star. And now that's what he is. The general, what was his name? Teletor porn star. That's.
Yeah, they took it. Basically, he like ceased to exist and Teletor just kind of like inserted himself into his body. Kind of like if you, as a wit bonded person, try to shove yourself into your animal and take over. That's kind of what happened. So
he's like wrong. 70% of the time Teletor, 30% Rapscal. Yeah.
Probably the part that like loves Hebe is Rapscal. Mm-hmm. And
well, yeah, like when he starts talking about Hebe and getting all excited about her doing things, like then he's, you know, Rapscal again. But
yeah,
and it's like almost nice to see it, but then you know that it's not there to stay.
I mean, I guess we should allow people growth, but I just don't
know. Not me. When I'm done well, with you, done with you.
I was like, hey, shit, we're getting another person's joining the party. Like, when you're in an RPG, like, you're just ready to get a new member, and you got to see what skills
no,
they
you
got.
Just got some goodies. That was just an item quest.
It's like, it's just a momentary thing, you know? It's, like, nice to see, but it's not going to last.
You would be annoyed by him, like, 15 minutes into the car ride, okay?
He doesn't need to join the party. He has a dragon. He's good.
Yeah, but they're going to need help to talk about 50 plus people, I'm just saying.
One of the things that I thought was interesting was this kind of setup of politics, like, for later. Like, oh, okay, we're going to start a treaty between the six duchies.
I thought it was very presumptuous of Fitz to be making these bargains. I don't know.
He's a prince of the realm.
I mean, he's a prince by title, but is he really a prince?
He was gonna be king. He could have been
king. He couldn't have been king. He could not have been king.
Let the man
diplomate.
I mean, Regal was king and he was garbage, so I mean, I feel like arguing that Fitz could have been king is, that's fair.
Fair? No, I think that's not how your argument was supposed to go.
It's fair.
They said that he would have been king in the shadows. He would have been king
just
in the walls.
Been Chad again.
That's not a real king.
Well, I think he feels entitled to doing that, but also, at least it's something that gets the six duchies of, you know, a handle on some exclusive merchandise.
Yeah.
So.
Swag.
I felt real bad when they were like, we'll get grain? Ooh, grain.
And you know what they could end up with? They could end up with a skilled person on their coterie who's bonded to a dragon. Mm. And that'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be pretty tight.
It could be Rapscallion.
Not Rapscallion.
It could be Rapscallion. He's the jock that comes in with this dragon. That's a good move. I'm just saying. If I were in an RPG, I'd be like, bring this asshole in. Let's go.
No, he is an asshole. He will do. He doesn't take orders. He does. What
he
took Yuffie.
He's the one that was like, "Let everyone get on your dragons and fly to Chalcedon and start a war."
Yeah, he wanted to start a war, and you saw how crazed he was when they found out the fool had silver. Like, that is a fraction of how crazy he gets in the moment, and he doesn't listen to anybody. Like, there's no stopping him.
Yeah, he thinks he's in charge. Like, he's a general of nothing.
He's got
it's
some,
a self-imposed title.
He's got
title.
Some bros.
Yeah, he's
I don't know
guys.
Why Case and Boxster even follow him anymore.
That's the really pathetic, but...
Because they lost What's-His-Face, whose name I've entirely forgotten now.
Rapskull peaked in high school, and then those are his two, like, buddies that just can't let him go, so...
But... And he got them addicted to porn too. I also like
porn.
The
skill porn.
It's honestly porn.
So his entire memories.
No, they're romance novels. It's not porn.
The memories
porn.
Of Teletor are recorded in his romance of a particular lady in Skill Stone.
Yeah.
So it's just.
And this particular lady was a very important silversmith, capital S. And Thymara has many of her memories as well, because she also watched the porn.
And she was like, ew, get me out of here.
But he believes that that means they're meant to be together, because they have these weird ghosts, like, inhabiting them. It's kind of like, you know, when they do at the end of Beetlejuice, when they, like, kill the Maitlands and then, like, install the fake people inside their bodies and then they start to die. It's like that. It's really fucked up.
It's not great.
It's like porn with a really useful plot that they had to watch so that they could unlock the silver.
It's like actual romance novels where there's actually a plot instead of
people have
like
feelings.
Yeah.
And that's not just plumbing.
There's a mystery. There's a mystery to solve.
Feelings.
Nothing more than
so many she secretly feelings. Has feelings for him, but
so I speaking of that, it. I do want a table for later this idea about the skill and the wit and dragon communication, because it's going to come up again. But I have questions. I have questions specifically about why some people who probably shouldn't be able to use the skill are influenced by dragons.
I just wish they would all stop being cagey with each other and just, like, explain everything, because then they would have so much more knowledge.
Yeah, and then our book would be, like, half the pages.
Or they'd be like, you're gonna start a war that none of us can win, and we would like you to not do what you want to do. I mean, I think that he tells people exactly what they need to know so that he can get what he needs, and then he's gonna peace out because he has a mission. He doesn't actually give a shit if it benefits them. Like, he's trying. I think that's why he tries to set up this thing between the six duchies to, like, well, we have healing and you have merchandise, and, like, we also have, like, grain and stuff, but... He may start something that is not beneficial to anyone if they decide that they're going to use all their prophetic powers to, like, take out Kelsingra. They've done it before and they'll do it again. Shall we move on to chapter 6?
Let's do it.
Please.
Oh. All right, that was that is such a creepy gift that you put.
Yeah, well, whose hands were those?
Romantic.
Well, mine is from...
I thought it was romantic.
Hold on, I'm going to send a screenshot to my phone, or send it on our text message, because it's, like, the GIF is frozen right now, and it looks a little diddly.
The frozen GIF is scary.
What is it from?
How am I supposed to use this?
I don't know. I just looked at hand clasping, and this is one where they weren't, like, face-to-face, they were side-to-side, and I thought, well, it's because they're...
Look at the text I just said.
This is what?
I'm
looking at Tamara
Pierce. Yeah, I'm looking at like a hot muscular lady.
You're welcome.
She's hot.
Oh,
Tamara Pierce.
I thought it
should be our next podcast.
When it's actually moving, I thought it was kind of romantic.
Is this supposed to be moving? It's not.
I can't see it moving.
Why did Ashley take a picture of the chat to send?
I don't know why it's not.
Listen.
Moving.
No, it's not very. It's not moving on ours either.
It was moving, Rachel. It was moving before. Previously, it was moving, but now it's frozen.
I don't.
I'm just gonna take a picture of the whole document and send it to the group now.
All right. Chapter 6, Revelations.
The stone dragon that ran out of
the
juice.
Bible. The end of the Bible, Revelations. So, this chapter starts with an epigraph written by Pearl Cop. That is the reason I hate Pearl Cop. After musing on having a dream after many, many, many probable centuries of not having any dreams, Pearl Cop dreams of the Destroyer. Seeing that everything he had ever known was destroyed, and knowing that the reappearance of this prophet and catalyst is related, he schemes to separate my OTP, and for that, I will never forgive him.
Aww, poor Pearl Cop.
Fuck you, Pearl Cop.
He's just trying to do his job.
Meddler. So Fitz is still laid up from the healing event and having to talk to Rapscale. You can be the judge of what is more taxing. So he's pretty much on bed rest. No skilling. But Fitz got a fit. So he sends Perry to get him up some brandy. And he comes back with a bottle of Sansedge from Carrot. Sweet. And he begins to plot to get some more detailed information out of Beloved. So Amber shows up and she's not one to let Fitz drink alone. And she goes to Fitz's room and they begin to drink. But Fitz is basically faking it. He's taking, like, small little sips, like one sip for each of the fool's three or four sips. So Beloved isn't so slick and knocks back at least half a bottle, like, right away. And I would like to point out the tropes in this chapter. They include, one character changes while the other pointedly doesn't look. Two, drunk talk. Three, difficult conversations while not looking directly at each other. Four, who did that to you? And five, there's only one bed.
Jesus.
By asking careful and increasingly pointed questions, Fitz gets Fool to speak of Prilcop's motivations for taking them back to Clara's, the big question of skill fingers and why none of them are dead yet, like Damara keeps warning, the circular nature of the magics of the realm. This is what Joey was talking about, the wit, the skill, and everything in between. They even talk about Jenna, which was barf, which I would like
scrying.
To put in for later discussion.
Scrying.
Why does the Fool need vials of silver? And also, where was Fool born? It was Mersenia. What was Claris like? What's its general geography? How will they sneak in? Who is the destroyer? Why did Fool come to Buck? No, let's go back to Claris. Are there tunnels? Are there causeways? Are there guard postings? How did you escape that long ago? So Fitz needs this information to begin the plan. How to get in, where to go, who to kill, and all those challenges. He has to be prepared if he's going to wreck the kind of vengeance that they both hope for. But this conversation is so organic. It flows back and forth in time between reminiscing of details and characters that we know, like Shrewd, and revelations, new information, clarifications, more details that flesh out the last 50 years and more. So it's not just of the Fool's past, but history in general. It's actually really masterful, and it's all done in that casual intimacy that seems to define Fitz and Fool's one-on-ones. It's really great, and I really like it. Anyway, Fitz is working, and it's a little terrifying, or is it hot? Is it terrifyingly hot, or am I just drunk on brandy? Fitz does try to stop the conversation eventually, but Fool's just in it to win it. He spills information about Illistor, aka the Pale Woman, and how he and Prilcop were treated when they first arrived back at Claris, and how it started to go badly, and then back to Fool's childhood and arrival in the Six Duchies. All the while, they're laying on this bed together, inching closer and closer together until the Fool is snugged up against Fitz's chest. And Fitz complains that the Fool smells like amber. And who the fuck is amber? And Fool's like, attar rose. Barely a trace. How can you smell that? And Fitz is like, I suppose there's still a bit of the wood. Is it hot in here? Or is it just me?
He's flirting.
Their hands are clasped together, and Fitz has an overwhelming urge to protect, coupled with this fear that he cannot. He's thinking of Bee and how she also depended on Fitz in this way, and they fall asleep together with brandy on their breath.
This is the summary of someone that doesn't like these characters, I can tell you right now.
I just really think it's hilarious that, like, Robin Hobb wrote this and then she has the gall to be like, oh, but he was super straight boning machine for Molly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yikes.
Lies.
Cringe.
It's like, you wrote it. No one, like, put a gun to your head and made you write this.
Well, you know, he does all of this stuff, but then he's also, like, he makes caveats, like, in the chapter of, like, oh, yeah. Well, and I'm just like, stop.
I thought about how I liked being hugged by Burridge, so I'm going to hug him.
I know.
Like, yeah,
he's
right.
Like, this is how a friend would respond to this. And this is, and I'm like, oh my God.
I at one point,
know
he like.
Love is.
He, like, Fool is giving him a massage there for like 2 seconds, and he's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. This reminds me of Molly.
Like, no, you were enjoying that.
I loved that. I was like, the casual, just like this, just like, I'm gonna start rubbing your shoulders. I'm like, oh, Amber is like, she's in it. She's been escorted to and from dinner. Like, she's just.
I do want a hand-holding count in this book, though, because there's so many times.
Yeah, which is why I put the gif of the hand-holding that you guys all.
I understood.
I get it. I'm just saying, when it's moving, it's great. When it's not moving, it's less great.
You know what? I'm going to replace it. I'm going to replace this really romantic, like, in-bed kind of, like, finger, like, Mr. Darcy
finger.
Kind of touching with that one of the two wrestlers just clasping each other's highly muscled arms in a very manly, straight hetero
Yeah.
You know, in a way, it is better.
It's just cuddles.
Paused, it just...
They're just cuddling.
It just looks like they could be corpses when they're paused.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
I'm sorry, the listeners can't see this at all. It's
It's like, it doesn't look like a thumb if you look at it. I don't like it.
Oh my god, it's a GIF that's frozen. I'm sorry. I'll fix it.
Good chapter. Okay.
So, obviously diabolical, right? Because Fitz is obviously using the fool. But it's what goes around comes around, because the fool spent 30 years using Fitz in kind of really merciless ways. And I think that whenever Fitz decides to, like, quote unquote, be merciless or be cruel to the fool to get him to relive some of these traumatic events so that he can get this information, he always does it in, like, a really caring and careful way. And he feels so much guilt for it. I just don't think it's as merciless as he thinks it is.
I mean, certainly Fitz never thought of it that way.
Oh, when the fool used him? No. Yeah, it always felt like his idea. Yeah.
Well, it's ultimate manipulation, right? I mean, that's probably why the fool feels so guilty, is that every single thing he says has to be...
I think what's interesting about their relationship is they both stand on stand in a corner of the room and cry about how they're manipulating the other. And then they also say, but I would do anything for you. I would do anything you asked me. It doesn't matter. So is it manipulation? Or are they just friends?
Yes.
Are they just
all of the
or
above?
Or do they just love each other and want to, like, support each
all
other?
All of the above.
Like, for example, if I ask Joey to help me do something, am I manipulating him or am I just asking for help?
Well, at first I didn't want to go to Batman. I hadn't seen any of the trailers. So. I wasn't convinced. I was like, I'd just like another DC movie. And then you were like, I really wanted to go to this. And I was like, and then you were like, I'm mad at you. And I'm like, okay, but how do I be not mad at? And you were like, I was like, you really want to go to Batman? And you were like, yes. There you go. It's the same.
So did you feel manipulated?
Were you upset by that manipulation in the end?
No, because I already know it. I know I'm being manipulated.
I think that proves my point, but I'm really not sure.
I added a better gif.
A little gif of two otters holding hands.
Perfect. Thank you.
No weird thumbs.
Why is your gif moving? Why is your gif moving?
I don't know.
That one is definitely
the better gif.
Because it's a gif.
Instead of a...
But Rachel's was moving on the dock. I saw it with my own eyeballs.
It was
I moving. Never saw it moving. I cannot confirm.
I didn't see it move either. How did it get... Whatever, how did the moving stop? Who killed Rachel's gif?
It was the people in the attic.
It was my attic person.
So yeah, so we're still on target. We're still planning a mission of revenge and murder. So that's romantic. And we finally do also get a few details of the fool's past that remained a little bit mysterious. So we know that there's evidence, or there's an allusion that the fool was trafficked in some way, which we kind of already guess.
Yeah, a lot of grossness
there in print. But if we also know that Shrewd was kind. You know, he doesn't come off super positively by the end of everything just because everything got so messed up. But it seems like he was kindly.
So
man.
My one question is, nice. When he said that he slept on his hearth, like, do we think he had like a little pallet bed, or do you think he like literally slept on the floor? Like,
you're asking if it's like The Office or if it's like just a carpet.
I pictured a nice pillow and a blanket.
I would hope he'd have like a little like slumber party pallet, you know?
But... Why did he Why?
He was in there when Shrewd was sick, and he was literally just sleeping on the, like, hearth, like, Cinderella.
Yeah, I thought that was because he couldn't be parted from him. I didn't think that Shrewd was like, yo, just, you can pull up a blanket right here.
I mean, I always assumed that it's because it was
Fitz sleep under the table.
I assumed it was, like, a safe place where he knew that he would be safe there, so he stuck him in his room.
Yeah, I don't take issue, like, sleeping on a hearth, awesome. I think that's a really sweet spot. It's warm, he's safe, he gets to, like, you know, the slumber party friend, but I just wish that he had, like, something on the floor under him.
It's okay. Maybe it was, as like, long as you don't invite them into the bed. Then it's wrong.
Exactly, Joey.
And then it's something else.
He was in Shrewd's room, but he was not in the bed. And that's really the important detail. But we do get a lot of confirmation that the society of Clara's, much like the society of Chalced, does not seem to have any redeeming qualities worth saving.
The weather's nice.
That it does seem to be nice there, yeah.
Yes, but the weather is nice outside of that place, so we can still burn that place to the ground.
Oh yeah, no, you
that place is made out of dragon bones, okay?
Clear that shit out. It's gonna be nice weather regardless.
But I mean, that's nice. That's nice to know that the place that we are going to destroy, that the destroyer is going to destroy, is not great. You don't have to feel bad about that. You don't. There's zero guilt involved. Yeah. There's no one.
I mean, I think that in a story where there are so many complicated things all the time, to have your overall goal be unambiguous is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Taken.
It does make you feel like there might be a switcheroo at some point where it's like, oh, you destroyed everything, but actually they were selfless gnolls who were trying to heal the world.
Oh. Don't trust the dancing nuns.
Oh, fuck Taken. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Fuck Taken.
Okay, let's go on to chapter 7. Hey, we got an email.
Wow, live on the spot? Oh yeah. My god.
You gotta read a live email. Yeah. Better be nice.
Yeah. Ooh, an intermission?
We got live mail.
We got mail during
from the guy in my attic.
Go ahead.
Wait, Alyssa left for a minute. Is she back?
What? Hi.
Okay, all right.
We can read the attic mail.
Okay. This is from Kai Hart.
He lives in my attic.
New mail?
From Frostburg, Maryland, which is also close to me. Ashley calls her attic.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. I first found BKR back in mid-September of 21 when I was just finishing up Fool's Quest and was desperately in need of finding others who were going through this amazing literary journey, especially because mine was soon to conclude. So, when browsing through the Realm of the Elderlings Reddit, I read some awesome internet randos comment where they had shouted out BKR and dropped a Spotify link to the podcast. I decided to check it out, and boy, was I glad I did. The diverse opinions, top-tier banter, and comically flavored recaps had me hooked as I browsed through the back catalog to get insight on what you guys thought of some of my favorite rote moments. I have now joined you each episode since 83, despite finishing up Assassin's Fate in late October, and you were my top podcast in 2021 according to Spotify.
Dude!
Thank you. That is not the review I was expecting you to read, but thank you.
Yeah. The next sentence starts with however. And
No
caveats!
However, you all say
it all.
However, as I was listening to episode 101, that was our last episode, Rachel dropped the cold reality bomb that this wonderful podcast would, of course, come to its natural end in June. And it got me thinking about past episodes where you guys were floating post-BKR ideas. When I unfortunately missed the live episode, I was preparing a D&D session, I realized that BKR and D&D would be amazing. It would be so bad if we did that. It would be so awesome if you guys put on a D&D live play podcast after BKR ends. I mean, come on, you guys around a D&D table properly libated and going on an adventure full of hilarity would be a treat for everyone. It would be quite interesting to see what classes everyone would play and who would DM. Thank you all so much for all of the laughter. You guys rock, and I'll miss you when it's over. P.S. I am still plagued by my book hangover. Tried to start Malazan, but couldn't get into it.
Maybe he'll just read Road again.
Well, yeah, you know.
I've never been able to successfully get into that series.
No, yeah, I'm not sure that that's a lot. I think you need like about three other authors in between to slide into Malazan from Rote.
Properly libated is the key. Who is this from again?
Kai Hart.
Thank you. Kai Hart. Maybe we should. That's a Hollywood name. Maybe we should do a D&D.
Oh man, what kind of? I mean, but I don't even know what.
I mean, I could get Rush to DM, and then none of us.
I was
going to
say that's.
Well, he would, but Rush would have to learn like all this lore.
Yeah,
at least like cursory.
Or we just base a character on a rote, each of our characters on a rote character, and then we have to do whatever that character would do.
Ooh, I like that.
But like, I mean, I guess there's bards.
And then Rush will
there's
be like,
"There's so
I don't
many
know
bards. We're all
yeah,
bards.
You can be half.
You
half. Can
be
half.
Be half. My dad.
That means you have to fuck up a lot and like leave or fall asleep or do
well,
nothing.
That's kind of what I do. Maybe I'm half.
Damn.
I'm gonna be Jin.
No, stop.
You're what Molly. We've established this.
No.
Ooh.
Every boss we encounter, I'm gonna be like,
I'm gonna
beeswax.
Can I be one of? Can I be a Pexy?
Ooh, oh. That'd be cool. I'm sure we could build you a Pexy.
I'm a live ship centaur combo.
Oh, that's a powerful
awesome
character.
That would be awesome.
If Tarman can have frog legs, then she can be a live ship with centaur legs.
Thank you. You're right.
How do I be a mute character that doesn't actually have to say anything?
A mute character? You could be Night Eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be some wit beast that only talks to somebody else, just one person.
There we go. Perfect. Because the only time I attempted to be in any kind of D&D game, I was a mute character that only spoke in my limited sign language. Because I don't actually do well with these things.
It works really well when you're doing it online.
So yes, perfect, great.
Yeah.
I'll just type out things and then someone else can do it.
All right, we're going to think about it, Kai. We're going to think about it. We know some people. Okay.
And the people is us.
Chapter 7 is Beggar.
You're close to your mic, right?
Yeah,
I'm just going to be controlled.
I'm
slow.
I'm eating it. I'm eating it.
Bend the tip of your nose on your mic.
Dude, stop it.
I could touch it. I could touch it. I could touch it with my nose very easily.
Back away. Ew.
I love it.
All right.
Stop.
Bee dreams that she is a wolf made of fog, trying to get the attention of her father. He's too busy talking to a two-headed man to hear her. Find her. Find her, she says. It's not too late. She keeps yelling and howling, but he never hears her. In the light of the day, Bee finds herself in the ruins of the old Duke's palace. What follows are several days on her own in the Chalcedian capital, giving us perhaps the first real glimpse into what life is like in this place we've heard so much about. The city comes to life on the pages as Bee is every bit as observant of the little details that her father is. It's lovely. And it's slow, and it's just a description of getting by day to day. But just know that my summary cannot do it justice, as this section is a multitude of tiny details, but very little plot. And I'm trying to be funny. So, Bee starts out on her journey, assessing her situation and hiding in the dark places of the old palace. The night after her escape, "What have I got?" she says. "Just these smelly clothes." She remembers the beggar her dad stabbed, and she delightfully proclaims, "I'll be a beggar. Maybe someone will give me an apple." In the morning, Bee climbs up on the remains of a house and finds that she is on top of a hill above a great city which butts up against the water, stretching as far as the eye can see. And this is the first time Bee has ever seen so much water. On the other side of the city are rolling hills, and Wolffather says, "Now I understand. This explains so much about Chalced. They don't have a forest." The camera pans down, and just beneath the hill is a great big neon sign reading, "Hollywood." Bee descends down to the market and makes the hard decision to sell her nice leather boots, as it will be hard to pass as a beggar with them. Having no comprehension of the language or money, B sells her fine boots for 6 pennies. 2 pennies later, and she's got today's meal, a day-old roll and a mini muffin given out of pity. B gets water from a public fountain and then gets chased away when she tries to bathe in it. That night, B wakes up crying and Wolf Father comforts her, saying that he will protect her. How, she says, what are you really, and how will you protect me? Wolf Father says, I am real and I am with you. The next day, a starving and weakened Bee goes out in search of food again. This time, she is able to buy a hot meat pie for 2 more pennies. She has to eat the pie as fast as she can, though, because kids are eyeing her while she's eating. Bee recognizes this as one of those crazy nexus points where all the possible futures are before her. But instead of making a decision, she just runs away. Back in the market, she sees more beggar children. A pack of them pull off a daring heist at a food stall by working together as a team. B. Sorry, I was just peeing. B, with only 2 pennies to her name, furiously takes notes. After the show in the market, B goes out to the docks. The harbor is bustling with activity, but B doesn't stay there very long. A perfumed dandy of a man there then tries to take her in, but Night Eyes warns her to run away. The eyes of a predator, he later tells her.
Ugh.
After all this excitement, B calls it a day. On the third day of the city, B gets robbed of her last 2 pennies by those same boys who were eyeing her food the day before. With no choices remaining to her, she decides to try and reenact the robbery play she saw the day before. Except B has no accomplices. No matter. I'm small, I'm fast, and I gotta eat. Luckily, a parade of fancy lads and one elegant lady on a horse happens to go down the street in a parade with all the bells, whistles, and horns that you could hope for in a distraction. B takes the opportunity and grabs a big loaf of bread and then dashes away. She is immediately grabbed, though, and held to the ground. Everyone around her is kneeling, so apparently this is a big deal. B eats what she can while she's held to the ground, but soon enough, people are standing again and she has to deal with the shop owner, and he's called the guard. And just like that, the crime spree of the famous miniature bandit has ended. B is carted off to prison for her many, many crimes. So at the police station, there is a bilingual cop. He's definitely a bastard. And he asks B where she's from and who her parents are, because they will have to pay for the stolen bread. B recounts her tale of how she was stolen from her home in the Six Duchies, and that, of course, her rich dad is going to pay to get her back. Runaway slave, he pronounces, and B is posted up in a cell while they wait for Kerf, which is the only Chalcedian person from her tale, to claim her. Well, it sounds a lot worse than it is, because at least here B gets a regular adult-sized meal. And she is told that she will be sold at a slave auction in 3 days if no one claims her. Outside of bulking up, B gets some good time with Wolf Father and learns that when she shuts her mind, she also blocks out the Wolf Father. Useful to know. The time in prison passes uneventfully. Plenty of food, plenty of sleep, and B begins to heal. It's really nice. But just as her sentence is nearly up, the guard asks, "This one?" And guess who strolls in? "My brother," he says.
I just hear it like Buster. Brother!
Brother! Oh, man. It sucks. Because she really, like... I mean, I don't know. She had to leave town if she didn't want to get picked up. But, you know, she had a nice 3 days free.
Oh, she goofed with those two boys stealing her money. I was like, come on now. We knew that they were going to be watching. Ugh.
Yep. Mm. You need to join one of the gangs, kid.
I'd rather her go with Dwalia and them, though, than her get sold off as a slave, so...
Ew.
And yeah, and get her face all fucked up, because we know that.
I mean, like, she can read and write and stuff, so maybe she would have gotten a good slave job, but in general.
But do you think it'd be really cool if they just tattooed destroy?
Oh, no.
And like a tear. She's got like Post Malone like tattoos. Horrible.
You mean Wintrow tattoos? Yes.
Yes. Sorry. Wintrow tattoos.
Do I have to draw a B with Destroyer tattooed across
my face? Please. In a leather jacket.
Some chunky boots.
No, she sold her boots. Now she's got bare feet.
I also was really proud of her when she got pinned down to the ground and she's like, I'm gonna eat while I'm down here. She's like shoving the bread in while she's being mashed into the dirt.
She went down to the docks in this chapter, right? Just to like look at them.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, this is a bad idea. I'm not, because she thought, I'm going to go down here and I'm going to find a ship that where they're from, you know, the six duchies, and I'm going to go home. And then she gets down
and they're just like whipping people for no reason. And
it's like all slaves. And she's like, oh, no.
And predators.
This is not my romanticized ideal. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. The predator. Ugh.
But no.
Thank you for that little sprinkle of detail, Ravenhop.
There's a walking fish in here.
I really just pictured the guy from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang that imprisons them.
Wait,
in the
what
car.
Guy?
The creeper, the creepy dandy guy.
No,
the creeper.
He's got the black emo hair, but he's all dressed up and he has the truck and he lures them in and it's really a cage. That shit traumatized me when I was a child. Trauma.
Shitty,
because
shitty
he
banger.
Was when kind of bizarrely sexy, but also terribly creepy.
And that's when you don't trust yourself, right? You're like, oh, I could be lured into a van. It could happen to me.
I gotta look it up.
Yeah, I don't remember this. This sounds like I blocked it out.
Interestingly, we're just going to put this in that little bag that I've got going of like weird things that are connecting the wit and the skill into like one circular magic. Night Eyes is not, you cannot communicate with him if you put your skill walls up.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
That's weird. But I think it's also evidence that B does not have the wit.
I'm sorry, I'm watching the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang child catcher scene.
Well, I think Night Eyes is going to be through the skill, like through fits and
right, but if she had the wit, wouldn't she be able to bypass that?
But I don't know if he's really like the wit anymore, or if he's just
the skill. So is he stuck in fits, or is he like a wit ghost and he's just floating around out in the skill?
Well, he was trying to talk to Fitz in the dream. So the prophecy at the beginning of the chapter is Wolf Father trying to talk to Fitz while he's talking to Rapscal, and he can't get through. Because Fitz has his walls up really hard because he's in the Skill City and he's, you know, trying to protect himself. So it feels like he's a wit ghost who's, like, stuck in the skill somehow. He's, like, the skill echo of Night Eyes, not the wit part. So there may be, like, a two sides of the same coin kind of thing happening.
I think that they definitely are, the like, part. Related.
Dumbass
but
kids.
It's so weird that they're...
Get in there, you dumb shits. Oh, I'm cosplaying as this guy.
But it's
you would be perfect. Oh, you just get that big long prosthetic nose, and then you wear the all black one. Yeah, the top hat.
Oh my god, he's evil.
Mm-hmm.
He's got kids in a cage in a carriage.
You never watched Chitty Chitty Bang?
Yeah, but it's been so long.
It's upsetting. The whole movie is terrifying.
I was children.
With you, Eli.
I don't remember what I was saying anymore.
I'm done. I'm sorry. Dude, you got just go to the link. I pasted it. You gotta watch it.
I still kind of choose, I don't know. I don't think that Night Eyes is just like a ghost. I feel like you can't be like, I don't know.
I mean, that's what I was trying to get at. Is he, like, based out of Fitz? Like, he's got, like, a Fitz home base and he's out like he's
but
like
I don't think so, because Fitz is not if that were the case, then I don't feel like Nadeus would have such a hard time conversing with him, like wall or no wall. I feel like if he's if his home base is Fitz.
I think that it's the fact that there's two magic involved that is key to this situation. If you only have the wit, you don't have the skill, right? You only have the wit. When your companion dies, they disperse. They go off. They go into the meadow. But if you have the skill, they can go into the skill stream. So I think that, like, the wit is, like, the earthly body, right? Like, if you think about it in, like, metaphysical terms of, like, the earthly body, and then the skill is, like...
the ghostly body.
The mental... the ghostly body. Right, whatever.
Oh, no.
I hear you. Yeah.
So, like, the wit part has dispersed. Like, maybe there's some echoes, because... whatever, but the skill part is in the skill stream, and the skill
which that tracks
is
because like
eternal and everywhere
he's operating as an independent, you know, like I don't think he's reliant upon Fitz's existence to be helping B and do everything. So, but does that mean that
I think
B
that
would have to have this skill
around
for somebody in the skill heaven stream, whatever it is, to like
skill heaven
to
skill heaven
talk to her?
Seventh heaven.
Well, she does have the skill. We know she has the skill.
Yeah, yeah. She just doesn't use it that often.
We don't have any evidence that she
has
the
skill.
Right. Like, she can talk to a
maybe
cat.
Maybe some slight evidence. Just a little bit.
Like, she talked to a cat, but we also know
but
that cats
can
talk
to anybody.
But that wit farmer guy thought that she would be like, he felt something in her. He wanted to give her a pet.
A pet.
Was it a dog?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he felt night eyes.
Maybe.
Feeling heaven.
I do think it's very interesting that there's like the whole wit plus skill thing with the dragons, and then that there's like most of people have this like either the wit or the skill or nothing.
Or, either or.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like blood type.
Maybe it's like blood type.
When I see those smiling faces, looking down at me.
No.
All right, let's move on to chapter 8.
Just remember that the
the
holier than thou husband dad on that show turned out to be a real life pedophile.
Yes.
So.
He turned out to be that guy on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Disgusting.
Listen, I thought Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was about a car. I'm looking at this clip and I'm so confused. These people don't have cars.
He had a car.
There,
he had a car.
Are you
it's
sure?
About a flying car.
It's a flying car.
There's
car.
These look like Eastern European, like 16th century peasants. I don't know.
Peasants.
You know, we are thinking very hard about distinctions between the wit and the skill, and then there's Teletor, who like filmed some sex videos and like preserved himself in
them.
So I think that I don't know, maybe the rules are a little bit fast and loose.
If there's a media to exploit, porn will end up in it. That's what
like he's literally preserved in LimeWire, and they were able to get his entire like personality back. So the fool came back because of a little bit of his blood got on a feather. Oh,
that is true. He was rebuilt entirely because of the a little bit of DNA he got. This magic is, insane. Sorry, we got more mail.
Wait, read it. We got more mail, did you say?
We got mail from Shreya.
We just got more mail?
Shreya, welcome back.
Welcome back, Shreya. Okay, this is distressing.
This just
Shreya, I gave you my phone number. Be distressed.
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know that I finally caught up. I started approximately 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and, wow. Holy shit.
And kind of just tore my way through.
Oh.
What's worse is that the past week has been my finals. So fail out of medical school, it's probably your fault.
But seriously, you guys are amazing. You guys are, as well as the amazing people over at Is Fitz Happy, have gotten me through a lot. I live in India and none of my friends really read fantasy. I think Alyssa is my favorite. Her summaries always make me giggle under my breath. Lots of love, Shreya.
Well, Shreya, get lots ready. Of love back.
Get ready.
I can't find her on the internet. Nope, found her.
Bang!
Already followed by Buckkeep Radio. Incredible.
All right, yeah, I don't know what we're talking about anymore at all.
Me neither. So
this episode has gone way off track.
Chapter 8!
Please.
That was a segue into Alyssa's chapter.
Thank you.
Was anyone else really excited when they saw the title of this chapter?
Yeah.
It's like, some shit is gonna go down, guaranteed.
Oh my god. That's why I plugged Ashley to sing the title privately.
Oh.
Very yeah,
that's why she just did it. I wrote this chapter while drunk, and now you know when you're a different kind of drunk, and you're about to read what you wrote, and you don't know what that is. So that's where we are.
Pure gold.
Okay. Do a minute. Maybe I should pour another glass. Let me try to recreate that specific kind of drunk I was. Here we are. Just a little bit of Middle Earth wine.
Screw top, whatever yes, it is.
Yes, Tintaglia's favorite.
It's a Sauvignon Blanc 2020.
I'm also drinking a Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. What is yours?
Mine's made with light-colored fruit.
Hers is called light wine.
Light wine. It's supposed to be had at room temperature to boiling hot.
To boiling hot. Very good. Yeah. Oh. Put it in the toaster oven. It's a Sauv Blanc.
Yeah.
Well, in chapter 8, Tintaglia, we check in first with the Journal of Bee Farsayer, my third favorite book. B goes to the shirt store, Dan Flashes, where the shirt patterns are so colorful and complicated that they're very expensive. She moves closer to the colorful shirts, and everything is snakes again. The snakes are trapped in a net to be drowned, but all of them are wearing these colorful button-down shirts, so they'll be all right. This image in. Eli. Yeah, it was Eli.
What
okay.
is this?
It's from I Think You Should Leave with Tim.
Oh,
thanks, Eli.
You're welcome. I'm plagued by the gifts that don't gif as well.
The finger is weird.
So that's what B dreams about, I guess. Whew, Fitz wakes up nude from his night with the fool. Oh, sorry, reading from my AO3 again. The sad little apartment doorbell rings, and Fitz tosses back his hair to answer it, and it is Rain with an even mightier hair toss, wet with the morning dew. The water sprinkles on Fitz's face. We are in the later awakening stages. Rain brings tidings from the other side of the river. Did he swim there? And announces that the Tarman has landed. This is not a drill. Unfortunately, we do not go directly to the Tarman in this chapter, but we do hear about 32 chickens and, quote, that sheep were a disaster. So that's some good content for the Barnyard Noises podcast, which is active and you should still tune into. The fool announces he intends to call on Thymara, and Fitz and Lant venture up to the map tower. And then they hear a bunch of dragon screaming, dragon trumpeting, dragon instruments, dragon drums, and they all have to go all the way back down to see the blue jewel of the skies, the legend, the world champion of disapproval, Tintaglia. Her dragon glamour is on, and she is ready to judge. Be careful, says Fitz to Lant, or you'll burst into song. And the last time you did that, people threw up. Tintaglia is back, and she is italicized and underlined. Malta, Rain, and Fran come to greet her, and she gets a big ol' woof of the lad and demands to know who made it so he could breathe and eat at the same time. Quote, "Bitch, I would have died," says the probably 8-year-old Tintaglia is furious. Fitz fesses up to the infringement of fixing fledglings that did not suffice. I wrote this for my future drunk self. I didn't do that bad. Tintaglia is going to kill him and the whole world knows it. Is it just me or is Tintaglia extra vitriolic today? Land offers to protect Fitz's ass, but he needn't worry. Hebe has Fitz's ass covered. Rapscal rolls up too. Hebe called me to your aid, he says, the ancient elf that he is. Soon enough, everyone's asking for boons. Tintaglia says no, but grants them anyway. They gain some mighty info. Icefire is alive, and Tintaglia is going to apply some medieval torture to get some answers from her ex. Everyone hates the whites, and they are going to light up Claris. But anyway, first Tintaglia would like to be groomed. Fitz is feeling sick, but I am also feeling sick because of this line. Quote, "The fool's hands on my shoulders felt good, but reminded me too sharply of Molly." The person I associate with life partnership. It's fun. The fool reveals more info about Claris and the arguments he had with Simph, an asshole who started shit at dinner.
And now there's a beautiful image of Taylor and Kyle Richards from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when Taylor is pointing across the table at the little white cat.
The cat is the fool. Refusing vegetables. Together, Fitz and the fool make a map of Clara's while they plot out all the murder that's going to happen. The fool is describing the towers. Shaped like mushrooms? Like exquisitely graceful mushrooms, perhaps. And the fool almost smiled. I have made a list of exquisitely graceful mushrooms. You may look them up. They are the golden chanterelle, the mauve parachute, and the red champagne. However, I've also made a list of the ungraceful, not exquisite, opposite mushrooms that you should not look up. The common stinkhorn.
I know what that one is.
The ugly milk cap and the red cup. Don't look these mushrooms up.
Common stinkhorn, doesn't that one that looks like a penis?
Stop it!
I just knew that. I didn't have to look it up.
It's grotesque. Anyway, in this chapter, we learned more about how the Claris folks participated in horrible eugenics, the harvesting of dreams, the class disparities, the extortion. It really just goes on and makes us excited to kill these guys with our friends. Oh, and Purr and Spark can make bombs, so they're coming too.
Two things I want to point out. One, the map that they make, they don't draw that. They make that out of plates and spoons. And salt shakers. And spoons.
First step, then I thought think that he they draws it.
Formated the dishware and then Fitz drew it.
I think so.
And two, the people of Claris just sound like the Bene Gesserit. Everything is Dune. I win. Let's go.
So my drunk recap wasn't that bad, is what I'm hearing.
It was good.
I'm just Tintaglia here
threatened to kill people like four times.
Mauve parachutes, and they're stunning. They're delicate. They're gorgeous.
Aren't they? Just graceful. What would do you describe them?
What do you have against red cups? What's wrong with red cups?
They're not good. Look at them. Are you looking at them? Are you kidding me?
They look. Great.
I want to point out that the day before Alyssa came to visit once, I found a common stinkhorn, and when she arrived, she could not have been more excited to see it.
Yeah.
Well, they're very rare, but also very ugly.
Secret I think fan. Our scarlet the Scarlet Cup looks fine.
I'm looking it up.
Would you describe it as graceful?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a
Rachel,
flower.
Why are you trying to make enemies with a friend? Hold on.
Is it exquisite though?
I mean, it doesn't.
I think they're pretty cool.
Not that great.
I think that they're obviously
not for a building.
Abstract, but they're not that far
off from a red champagne. They're just like its fatter, broader cousin.
You know, I'm thinking the red cup and the red champagne are the same mushroom, and that I just saw different photos of
them. Well, so I'm actually seeing some
rose by any other name
here that say that are comparing the two. Where did it go? I just had it. No, I lost it.
Oh no! You know the mushroom
red cup fungi
blunder
or champagne mushroom in a rainforest. Hold on,
fuck.
Hold on, I might be getting some details here. Breaking news! Breaking. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Mushroom drama, fungus drama.
I'm not a real mushroom fan. I think they're the same mushroom.
Oh.
But I saw a less flat.
How scandalous.
And let this be a lesson. Sometimes you might fall in love with somebody when they're wearing makeup and in a fine outfit. And you'll be like, man, this is a really good looking person. And then you wake up with them after a night long bender of drinking too much. And maybe perhaps chain smoking menthol cigarettes outside in the wind. And you're like, oh God, this is the same person. And you need to be prepared for that in life.
This is that situation.
Cup. You red cup.
I,
do you think that when Rain came and like knocked on the door and Fitz has like a towel around him or whatever he was wearing and he opens the door and he's like sweeping his hair back and then over his shoulder you can see the fool just like laying in the bed?
He didn't think twice. He was like, cool.
Rain was
gay,
like, yeah,
I've seen that.
Yeah, this is definitely what was, yeah.
Carson's been Tarmac there, too. So yeah.
Does Rain and Malta know that the fool is, that the alter ego?
They know Amber.
That's it. They don't know about the fool.
No.
So that
which
do
is
they
why
just,
everybody's just like, yeah, Fitz
is banging
Amber.
Fitz is banging Amber.
Yeah,
that's right.
They think so.
Well, especially because they were like, why did you carve Paragon's face that way? And then Amber was like, oh, just based it on a long lost love.
Lava.
They're like, oh, Amber's
and
got
then
a
they
boyfriend.
Meet Fitz and they're like, oh.
Alyssa, I'm going to give you this. The ugly milk cap is horrific.
Isn't it awful?
It is genuinely awful.
Some mushrooms.
Some pig.
Why do we think that?
It's like a doo-doo's pie. That. It still keeps on trying, but we're going to keep talking about mushrooms for some reason.
I needed to close the loop on that. I had to look up all six varietals to really know what I was working with.
Thank you for doing that.
Even though it was really five varietals because she's just not used to seeing their other face.
Stinky stinky.
I couldn't include any mushrooms that had the genus Phallus because I wouldn't be able to say it, and yet I did. But the ugly milk cap is Lactarius turpis, and it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Good luck to you.
Now, Rachel, what were you saying about Robin Hobb?
I was saying, why do we think that Robin Hobb feels that she needs to get the dragons involved in this vengeance quest?
Because there's no other way. Realistically, the fool and Fitz cannot walk into Clara's, and he's good at Berserker. He ain't that good at Berserker, okay? And also, it's kind of nice to know if you're going to wipe out an entire island slash, like, kind of subspecies of people that, like, you have a really good reason to.
Subspecies.
So. See, to me it's more pure vengeance when you don't care if they're actually bad or not. They've wronged you specifically, and therefore
right.
That is enough.
But is that wrong? You know.
Yeah, that's horrific.
And it's wrong.
It's a book, though. You don't have to have actual morality. It's a book. It's fiction. But I guess we don't want to make fits.
You know what's stranger than fiction? The common stinkhorn.
Oh my God.
Please do not at me about the common stinkhorn.
Do you think people saw this in nature and just kind of went, okay.
So what is so I Eli, what did you do? Stinkhorn is an object that exists that is not a mushroom, correct? Or
it is a mushroom.
Well, I know that that's the name of it, but is there something that is a stinkhorn and they're like, oh, this mushroom looks like a stinkhorn, and so we're calling
it a horn and it's stinky.
Yeah. It is stinky. Flies are attracted to it. And their lifespan is usually less than 24 hours.
It's kind of amazing.
Mushrooms in general have themselves. Kind of lower lifespans. Unless you're...
It depends on
the
mushrooms.
They grow, they stick up out of the ground, and then they go flaccid in like 24 hours. It's crazy.
Yeah. Flaccid.
Please don't say that. And also, they're disgusting looking.
They spend their spores and then go flaccid.
I get lots of mushrooms at my house. Wow. I'll start documenting them for you, Alyssa.
Should I just move to your house at this point?
Anytime. Dolphins and mushrooms.
I'm all packed up.
I have a plush attic ready for you.
Attic people.
I'll make you a pallet.
It's moving ready. Bunk I'm going
to move in. So Tintaglia's off to speak to Icefire politely and with
bitch better have
a lot
my money.
Of affection. I don't know where Icefire is. I think he's far. So this could be a long wait.
Where does Icefire live
but
now?
But she's
I mean,
going to get
the
deets. She says she's going to get those details that have been denied to her. I think it's hilarious that she's like, I can't believe that Icefire didn't sit me down and tell me everything he has ever thought.
That's like when you tell somebody they lied because they didn't tell you like every fucking detail of their life. And it's like, well, it's just like there's a lot to cover, you know? Like maybe it just didn't all get out there.
Like we do have ample evidence that there was a natural disaster involved. Like... I don't know what caused the natural disaster, but I don't know if it was like an island of people.
I do generally think that I'm going to be disappointed with whatever Icefire behavior was whenever whatever happened.
Just sleep through it.
I mean,
it's going to be like, I don't remember.
There's also a lot of evidence that they were not a particularly good couple. I don't think that they were like talking around.
Yeah, it's not like they were like having pillow talk together.
Yeah, no.
No, I don't. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that.
Well, no,
like,
we're saying, like, why is Tintaglia always a bitch, anyways? So, like, he never stood a chance.
She's unreasonable.
Is it pleasurable for them, or is it just, like, a thing they have to do, like, pissing?
What is what pleasurable? Pillow talk?
Mating.
Why? We are not talking about mating. Where did that come from?
You're talking about pillow talk. I think you're talking about mating.
Oh my god.
Dragons mating.
I think they're pragmatic.
Extra stuff, we might have 2 minutes of conversation. About
I think they were the last dragons on Earth.
Yes, they were literally the last dragons on Earth, and it had to be done. Tintaglia took one like for the team, and honestly, you could say the same for Icefire. Like, neither one of them are great.
I don't know. She's young and kind of...
But Hebe's good. We like Hebe.
Hebe's too young to mate.
Hebe doesn't mate at all.
Hebe was doing some awesome stuff in this chapter.
He was,
you know.
She.
Oh, she. Yeah. It's like they're all like sex
dragons.
Yeah.
Hey Eli, your gift's working now.
Yeah, I replaced it.
Magic.
This is that episode.
I'd really like to dive into this moment from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, though.
Thank you for being here. Oh, Rachel. Rachel's going to lose it. Rachel's
I appreciate
done.
It so much.
She's done. She's like, I don't care.
I said that just to piss Rachel off.
Yeah.
The sigh was perfect.
Fitz wakes up nude from his night with the fool. Oh, sorry, reading from AO3 again.
How dare you read my words with your mouth?
I'm gonna read the whole chapter now. That'll get us back on track.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll do it.
Every episode prompt. We are back. Character introductions and exits.
Thank
Reintroduction
you.
with old Tinty.
Tintaglia is back. Her blueness is bluing all over
I
the place.
Really loved when Lant was like, oh, most beauteous dragon, you're so lovely.
But here's the thing. Why are Lant and Pear affected by her if both of them are supposed to be no skill?
I think...
Well, Pear is. No, he wasn't.
Because they're just power. Like commoners and they have even more power to brainwash them if they're commoners.
Yeah, but it's the skill.
It's the skill, right?
But he only hears them mooing.
For sure. Maybe it's broader than
we
think it is.
Well,
but we have evidence that people, there are some people who don't hear anything. They just hear cow noises.
Well,
right.
Yeah, and that's what yeah, Lant
was
hears.
Especially like.
But that's like enamored, hearing them talk. Per- Does that have anything to do with the glamour, though?
So, cool. I guess I'm thinking of the fact that Lant was like, I don't have the skill. I'm useless. I don't have the family magic.
I mean, it's kind of crazy for him to not to.
But does he must have it a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
Just a little bit.
Okay. Because I was wondering if it was maybe like a wit thing. Like maybe they're getting it on the wit end instead of the skill end.
I don't think so.
I honestly, there are points where that Fitz has written about the skill and he says that everybody has a little bit of the skill. Even if they're
yeah,
completely
but Per definitely
off.
Doesn't because he doesn't hear anything.
No, like he
and they have a whole conversation about
yeah,
like,
but
the
like,
fact that it's good that he doesn't because he's
he might not.
I think that
yet.
There is supposed yeah, I think that everybody is supposed to have some skill. They're just not attuned to it or something, or and maybe they'll never have it. But like they, I think that it's supposed to be like. You know, the fool, that's like all that stupid shit, like deja vu
well, I was
means
also
this,
like, the
and Phil Moon
to be
means
immune
this.
To the skill as well, but the fool also has silver on his hands right now, so that would be the excuse.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, it's interesting. It did make me think of the Burrich standing in front of the stone dragon and just being like, fuck off! You know, when Fitz rolls up and he's like, hey, bitch, remember me? I dug your boyfriend out of the ground. You owe me. She was like, I don't owe you anything. He sucks.
He's awful.
He's the worst. Put him back. Animal assists. We got Hebe. We got Motley. Motley for MVP of this
Motley's
section,
great, and I love
I
that
think.
We're getting True. Full sentences. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weird.
I like when she called Fitz stupid again.
Yeah, hey, stupid.
Hey, stupid.
What is Motley, though?
Crow.
A bird.
That is the question.
Not just a crow.
A bird. Just a bird.
Something else going on. I think she's like a whole generation of people stuck in one bird.
Maybe she's Kettle come back in another form.
Corpus.
At one point.
Sassy.
Was there like a carving of a bird made out of like
I don't know, Rachel. Was there?
Bird? I don't believe so, but just,
you read the books.
A weird
you
bird,
tell us.
All. I don't know. I don't even like them.
what?
Just making a joke.
Making a joke.
All right.
And obviously Wolf Father keeping Bee up in spirits and directing her to do things like run away, which is very useful. And then we have fashions from Jamelia. We're not doing, I think there's a robe. So if somebody wore like a nice robe.
Fitz wore an elderling robe and was like, I don't like this. I'm putting my own clothes back on.
It's too silky. It's too comfortable. It's too
He didn't feel
luxurious.
Proper enough in it.
It doesn't smell bad. It doesn't have like a stiffness with my
sweat. I need my clothes to catch on my rough skin. That's
ew.
His clothes got laundered in my section.
I like that that Amber is wearing like the fool's like leggings and t-shirt under all of her outfits so that whenever she like enters a room, she just throws her dress off and becomes the fool. I thought that was interesting. We've got lots of beggar fashion. Oh, that's weird, but it's there.
I'm sending you some shortly if this actually sends to my phone.
Oh.
Beggar fashion?
Well, the picture of Bee with Destroyer tattooed on her forehead.
Yes! I'm gonna need this my next tattoo.
Wait, did Burke come from Chalcet originally?
Yeah, his grandmother was Chalcedain. Apparently that's where the wit comes from. That's what they say.
Really? Chalcet?
I don't know if that's true.
No, that's just what
he
thought.
Nothing good comes from Chalcet.
Well, he didn't think anything good came from Chalcet either. It's not coming through. Where is it?
It's because it's not sending to my phone.
Oh.
It's being stupid.
Too big.
I need to, like, restart. No, it's just not connecting properly, and I need to restart my phone, but I don't want to.
All right, I will wait with bated breath.
roll the maps. Where are we and how did we get here? Okay, so Fitz is in Kelsingra, about to leave on the Tarman, who has just docked across the river where the dead sheep are. And B is in jail. In the Chalcedon capital. How do they get information out that there's like a person that needs to be picked up in Lost and Found? Like, do they have like a, like, do they know where all the kerfs live, or is there just like a gem, like a fly?
I wondered that too, because she's like, I know kerf, and then like 5 seconds later, like, we found kerf. I'm like, huh? I mean, I know it wasn't that quickly, but still, like, there's not another one, or like how, as in Chalcedon,
shouldn't there be like 12,000 kerfs?
I don't know.
Yeah, that somebody's just walking around the city going kerf. Any kerf will do. Fitz Misery has a moment. The return of Does Fitz Suck? I feel like he did not suck. I felt like he was kind of a badass in this. Not only was he like being a like a like nighttime talking assassin planning guy, but he was also being a comforting romantic guy, and also challenge a dragon without any weapons in his hand guy.
Like back talking dragon.
That was pretty good.
And being like really proud of Nettle for being a badass, which is nice. And I think this was like his best section yet, really.
He was pretty good.
So what did we decide that scale meant again?
I think it's a 1. Or is it the opposite? Some of us think something
sucks, so it's gotta be
some
a
of
one,
us
right?
think the other. It changes every week.
One is bad, 5 is good. If Fitz was doing great and good, well, then he's a 5. If he was doing not great and good, then he's a 1.
Yeah, but the Where question is, did Fitz
I disagree. I think 1 was the best.
Not was Fitz good.
But that's just it. We never drew a scale, and the scale in my head had 1 is that Fitz sucks, and 5 was Fitz is doing great. That's what the ends of my scale said. We never talked about the title of the scale being Does Fitz Suck, and then it just being the only option was suckage and what level of suckage it was. For me, it was a spectrum of suck to not suck.
So
I'm pretty sure I used to say Does Fitz Suck, where 1 is the best and 5 is the worst. How would we score him? I'm pretty sure I used to say that.
Well, yeah. I don't like listen to you, so take that.
So we are... Rachel and I are rating on a scale of 1 to 5 turds, and you're rating on a scale of 1 to 5 stars.
Yes. Stars. Or like turd to gold nugget.
Who has like a conversion chart?
I don't know.
Can we agree he's doing great?
I think we just have to use our words.
He's doing good.
Yeah, you can just... I think he's doing great. I think, other than the fact that he didn't get the voicemail from Wolf Father...
I'm generally very annoyed by that, but like
she's got the bread.
Well, I mean, we can talk about it later, but I think that that's a prediction of the future. I don't think that he's missing anything yet.
Oh, I love it. It's a good tattoo.
What's in her pocket?
Did you change?
The candle. Her candle that's being held together by the wick.
Her little broken candle.
Because I gave her like a nice little pouch pocket, because that's how things work. I
love it. That's perfection. That bread looks delicious. I want to eat it. Anime bread, when I was little, I was just always obsessed when anime cartoon characters would eat bread, and it would just take out those perfect little like round little like cupped bites out of a loaf of bread. I don't know why. Anyways. One of life's small
delights.
Well,
speaking of bee... How is B doing the prophecy scorecard? We have some increasingly ominous.
Her prophecies are getting very dark very quickly. I feel bad for her. She's on such a roller coaster and she's just so hungry. When she was like, they gave me a bowl of food, an adult sized bowl of food. I'm like, oh, she's so hungry.
Poor child.
Yeah.
Everybody who comes to my house gets an adult-sized bowl of food, whether you're a kid or grown up.
All right.
You keep
my favorite is the adult-sized bowl of pimento cheese.
That's true. We always eat
pimento always
cheese
buy it
there.
When people come to my house. I always get palmetto cheese. It's a must have. You gotta have it in the fridge.
Palmetto cheese.
Can we set a date, please?
For pimento cheese?
To eat pimento
for
cheese
pimento
at Ashley's
cheese
house?
At Ashley's house. Yes.
In her attic. We have to eat it in the attic.
Yes, in the dark. Yes.
With all of my Christmas decorations, you can sit next to my 3D blow.
We're just gonna drop by and move into the attic.
It's fine. It's
You'll
great.
Come home from work and be like, "What the hell is all that?" Racket?
Moira will be
brooding cheese in your attic.
I'll get you a little mini fridge. We can put it up there.
Well, I think so. So the general vibe I'm getting from these prophecies is that fire, dragons / serpents, and just a general anger of bad vibes all around. So
destruction.
And, you know, I'm okay with that because Clara sucks.
Well, I feel more confident now that, like, I know I really wanted Fitz to fly into Clara's, like, on a dragon. But I'm happy that we're going to get some time on Paragon. I don't think that completely writes off the potential of Fitz maybe riding on a dragon at some point in the future. But I do feel like we might get one of those scenes where they think they're going to have to do it all on their own. And then swooshed in a whole bunch of flying jewels in the sky. They're just going to be like... Like,
yeah, why can't they do to Clara's what they did to Chelsea and do like a dragon tornado and just tear the
just
thing
acid spray those motherfuckers?
Seems fucking easy. Like, what do they have, like machine guns or something? That they do they are the mushroom buildings like open up and it's just Gatling guns? Like, what's the problem?
They have those big the giant arrow spear things from Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, those things, super accurate, easy to use.
But they were in the show. Terrible. Anyway.
Does anyone else just picture like the nuclear plant towers instead of like mushroom buildings?
I don't know what
like the big tubes.
I don't know what that.
You know, like the test tubes, the test tube shaped like nuclear.
I mean,
plant
I was thinking
buildings.
a lot skinnier. A lot, lot skinnier.
Oh, you mean like the thing from The Simpsons? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
I was thinking way skinnier.
More like a minaret.
Oh god.
Okay.
Oh god,
okay.
What does that look like? Hold on.
Or like a
mosque or
like a mosque, but with like a wine stem. Mm.
Yeah, a mosque with a wine stem. That is a beautiful thing to say.
Well, we'll have to wait to find out. And a reminder for our next reading section, we will be reading Assassin's Fate chapters 9 through 12. This has been Buckkeep Radio. You can email us at buckkeepradio@gmail.com and let us know if we can read your email on the air. I am Rachel, and you can find me at DarthRachel.com. No, not .com.
Better go buy it. You gotta buy it soon or else I'm gonna buy it right now and you have to pay me $1,000 for it.
Google domains.
Buy it.
I have an account already. I already got the quick checkout.
GoDaddy's a piece of shit.
I could talk to you for hours about how much I hate GoDaddy. Don't even get me started.
No, you get guys.
No, Dad,
it's not me.
No, Daddy,
Google domains is equally as frustrating in many ways.
It is,
but it's not me.
But
it's
no Daddy
it's
to GoDaddy.
What I work for, not for the clients I work
at
with.
At least it's not run by an obtuse.
DarthRachel.com is available for $8.85.
DarthRachel.com. Oh, it's not that much.
It's $12.
$8.85 a day or.
A year.
Oh my god, I would cry blood. I buy my domain through Google. It's alyssamaynard.com.
I stopped paying for mine. So
no, Jenny.
I'm gonna scoop it. I'm gonna steal it from you.
The ultimate comrade.
So now you can find me at Faceless Spray on Instagram or Jenny's Life Art on Instagram.
I'm Eli, and I am
Eli was
not
googling
on any
chewy bread cosplay for sale.
He's like, I gotta buy it.
I'm not spending money on a website no one will go to. So I'm on Instagram at ChewyBreadCosplay.
ChewyBread.com is expensive. ChewyBread.com is $69.99, and you have to.
Oh my god!
It's taken. What? So that's. Oh no, it's already sold, so that's the broker fee if you want a broker to try to get it.
That's
for
the
you.
Broker fee.
Oh, but someone evaluated yeah, you my may not Instagram even get and it. Decided that it was a valuable resource, I think.
Or just like bread is delicious.
Chewy
when
bread
it's
cosplay?
Chewy bread cosplay
is it less bread? Expensive?
$8.85 a year.
Okay, there yeah. we there go. Go. That's all yeah, that's yeah, all yeah, good. Yeah, yeah.
Most combinations of just like words are taken.
Yeah.
I understand our 1-star review now.
This can all get cut.
How dare you?
That was rude.
This can all get cut.
All right. Well, I'm done talking.
There's no greater haters than ourselves. Who are the haters?
I need
no
well,
one, no one hates
for,
us more than us.
I'm just waiting now. For a pause so people can hear me.
And I'm waiting for Ashley.
My name's Ashley. I'm on Instagram at Lady Bird Parker.
And my name is Joey, and you can find me at buckkeepradio.com.
Next up is spoilers, where I will read one single paragraph. And
I know which one it is.
All right, you guys. It's been lovely, fabulous, wonderful.
Bye.
Wonderful. Bye.
Bye.
It's marvelous. Are they gone?
Yeah. Oh, wait, no.
Well, no.
Joey isn't.
Joey just leaves his desk. He doesn't turn it off.
He walks away.
That's fine.
Into
right.
the night.
The farewell gathering included the children and companions of the keepers. Many came to thank me again and offer parting gifts. A pragmatic man named Carson had brought us dried strips of meat in a leather pouch. I wonder if it was salty. It will keep if you don't let damp get to it. I thanked him and had that instant sense of connection that sometimes comes, a feeling of a deep friendship that could have been.
I want that friendship.
Gay. Gay.
Gay.
Gay. Gay.
I mean, doth protest too much. Come on.
She puts so many things in.
Right? And then she's like, I didn't do that. I was possessed by a gay spirit.
I blacked out in my field of decaying apple trees. And I can't be.
And when I woke up, all the characters were gay. Whoops.
Oops.
That was.
Yeah.
Me.
Oopsie.
I think it's like so an elaborate, just like, I think it's an elaborate, like, plan to just make it all really gay, and then when people ask, she's like, no, why would you think that? But like, it is.
And it's before gay. We lose one what's person it? Because they're like, they're both outdoorsy.
What's it like being like so such a gay writer and a liar? I don't
But on a serious note, I really wish that they could have an actual friendship because I think Fitz could
yeah,
really
no,
benefit
I think
from
that. He's very, he has that, like, him and Riddle and Carson. That's the,
yeah.
like, the, that's.
Proficient.
But, like, in the same way that I feel like Fitz benefited from his friendship with Webb with respect to the wit, I feel like he could learn a lot from Carson with respect to his feelings.
Or, like, how to be, like, a good husband, how to be a good partner.
Yes.
How to like prioritize the people you love and also like still be happy, like
how to be
Carson
gay
is his like
and
emotional counselor,
yeah,
his life coach,
how to be like an emotionally mature
person who cares for themselves, cares for the people that they love, like an adult. Because
perhaps Fitz could teach him how to make a skin window.
Right? Because that's the trade-off.
Yeah. A skindo, if you will.
A skindo. Because, like, I love Burrich. We know that I'm team Burrich. We know that I love Burrich. But Burrich was not an emotionally mature person. No, not at all.
No.
And, like, the fact...
He was a bury your feelings and never talk about it.
Exactly. Kind of, so, like, Fitz did not get any of that, like, positive reinforcement of, like, how
Fitz
to have...
was like, I will bury my feelings in a dragon and then just move on.
How to have emotions and like, still... and still be strong, like strong but also vulnerable, strong but also emotionally available. Oh, but Carson's the full package. What else do we have coming up?
I just was reading ahead as well and got to the bit seeing Paragon and the Fool being like, oh my god, I can explain.
Oh, yes, I love that. Yes. I love it. Let me read it. Hold on. Where is it?
Yes. Shame him.
Everyone's just like, oh, my God, a live ship. That's so cool. And Fitz is just standing there in stony silence. What chapter is that? 11? 10?
It's the second chapter of the ones we're reading next. The end of the second chapter.
I don't know what that means.
Well, what section are we reading next?
10?
9, 10, 11, 12.
So then it's 10. 10. Okay. The end of 10. Here we go. No, and now it's just gone back.
All right, here it is. Here it is. Oh, look, have you ever seen such a thing? He's magnificent. A live ship was moored alongside. Sails furled, he rode placidly at the moorage. The silvery wood of his hull proclaimed this was no ordinary ship. His dark head was bowed over his muscular chest as if he were drowsing over his crossed arms. A strange posture for a figurehead. And then the hair on my scalp and arms prickled as he slowly lifted his head. He's looking at us, Spark exclaimed. Oh, Lady Amber, if only you could see this. He's truly alive. The figurehead has turned and is looking at us. I stared at the ship, my mouth hanging open. Spark and Perseverance looked from the ship to me. I was speechless, but Lance spoke the words aloud. Sweet Ida, Fitz, he has your face, right down to the break in your nose. Amber cleared her throat. She spoke breathlessly into our shock silent. Fitz, please, I can explain everything.
<That's> so good.
I'm biting it's a fantastic my knuckles. Oh my god.
Especially because then we go back to B and it's like, oh, you have
it's
to
like,
wait.
No, what the fuck? No, I think I actually, when I first read this, skipped it. I was just like, I cannot. Ahead, yeah. I cannot deal with that. I have to go straight to the reaction of meeting Paragon. The so live good. Ship with Fitz's face that's just out and about doing its thing. I mean, what's the explanation? I was feeling down.
I missed your face, I decided to
I knew
it
that
into
you were, you know, having a life.
I'm sorry. This is why Live Ship is the best trilogy.
Because it's the messiest one?
Yes. I need messy. I need emotional. It all kind of, like, the threads all start to kind of connect from there. It makes it all worth it. And it's like, it really, it builds you up to this point. It couldn't be without the live ship books.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Okay, so I skipped ahead. The figurehead of the docked vessel looked as affronted as I felt. Paragon resembled me in almost every way. Quote, you can't possibly explain this.
I can, but not now. Later, in private, I promise.
In private. Why does he have
Why does
blue
he have
eyes?
Blue eyes? My own were dark.
Oh, man.
You know that Fitz is like,
why
is
my
this
face?
A fantasy? He wishes I had blue eyes.
This is fanfic. This is fanfic. Yes. Why my face, I demanded. Later, she
AO3
quietly
is
responded.
Now a ship.
This is true. Ridiculous. But I mean, I remember, like, this was it. This was the only thing I wanted to happen. I just wanted Paragon and Fitz to meet.
I wanted that to happen, and I hadn't even read Live Ship. I was just like, I know there's a boat out there with Fitz's face on it, and I need to see that happen.
And then, of course, everything after that is absolute shit. But that moment, gold, pure. Nothing could be better.
It's true.
But then the whole, like, I'm gonna pout. It's like up until this moment, you've been super good. Like, Amber is Amber. You're taking her to the dinner. You're being cool. And then, like, you get on this fucking boat, and you're like, I fucking hate Amber. Everybody likes Amber.
Amber sucks.
I don't like her. Amber sucks. I'm tired of looking at Amber.
I wish she would just go back to being the fool.
Amber likes Paragon more than me.
Yes, because Paragon is somehow more emotionally available than you are. And he's a boat.
And he's a boat.
He's a boat.
With warring dragons.
But, like, honestly, like, I'm like, we go from I'm going to, like, do the, like, the rom-com thing where I'm gonna, like, with no shirt on, open my hotel room door so that the guy in the hallway can, like, look over my shoulder and see the lady in my bed. Like, you're fine with that, but you're not fine with exactly the same thing happening on Paragon. Why? 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 Why?
He just got real chilled out in Kelsingra because, like, the skill was messing with him. And he was all dazed and, like, floating. And fine with everything and drinking brandy.
Yeah. And then he got all uptight again.
Yeah.
Drinking does make you fine with more things. I speak from experience on this night, even.
I kind of want to save... Yeah, we're good. We can quit. Because I want to save, like, our talk about... I want to get a little bit farther so that we have more to reference when we talk about Clara's and all that stuff. So... And the Pale Woman and her followers. So...
Hey, but guess what? Our spoiler section was more legitimate than the rest of this episode.
Alright. Talk to you guys next week.
For Tarman.
Yay.
To us. As Fitz and the Fool would say, holding their cups aloft.
Yes.
To us.
One day we'll do it in person again. To us.
Yeah. To us.